This is the Minus the Bullshit podcast. This is where I talk about my views on how I feel about business, minus the bullshit of the perceptions and stereotypes that they want to perpetuate on us. I talk about pop culture topics that come across and make me think about how a lot of the bullshit keeps us in the way from accomplishing our dreams. They sell us negative stereotypes and fear mongering and pandemics and all of these things to keep us in our place, literally. Whereas what this has to become is what I've called a reception. So I'm going to point out all of the bullshit that'll keep you from getting distracted so that you can accomplish your goals of making yourself a self-made millionaire. Thank you. I don't know if it's just me. I be noticing shit, but this whole thing with Arkansas Mo and being indicted for fraud on the PPP loan issuance and this nigga getting rapes and jewelry and paying child support and all of that just kind of stank to the high heavens for me. Like, it's just a couple of things don't add up. You know what I'm saying? How not only are you telling me that this man done got a $2 million loan and done balled out and done been spotted and indicted in less than 30 days is beyond me. It's no way in hell, nor have I ever seen a federal investigation. A federal investigation. I say that for emphasis because anytime you got federal agents and federal agencies involved, everything takes time. Especially any type of criminal investigation. And you mean to tell me that out of all of the crime that's being committed, price gouging, murder, hate crimes, all of this, that a criminal investigation unit, fraud, white collar crime unit has taken their time to stop whatever they were doing to investigate Arkansas Mo, a nigga from Atlanta that might have committed a $2 million fraud when it's motherfuckers that's committing a $2 billion fraud and they lawyer ain't got a call. You mean to tell me not only was there evidence for an investigation to even get the clearance to launch an investigation, but this man has been indicted in 30 days. That don't add up. Y'all gotta make this make sense to me. Like, how, one, do you even get on their radar enough that they say, hey, we gonna investigate you? And two, you haven't even had enough time for the ink to dry for you to commit some of the crimes they saying that you committed on the checks that you gonna write for some of the stuff that they saying that you gonna bought, that you bought. So you telling me that they didn't assign a forensic accountant that done looked up your transactions, seeing that you buying jewelry with money. Like, the request for a forensic accountant in any investigation is going to take 2 to 3 weeks. So you telling me that we were able to discover a crime, get a forensic accountant that can say that this man done spent this money on these things, got evidence that he done spent this money on these things, got a judge to issue not only an indictment, but an arrest warrant for this man in under 30 days in a quarantine. Like, they are doing the shit in front of our eyes, perpetuating a motherfucking misguided, like, image of us as the people that are gonna commit the crime just so they can keep us all in check to say, oh man, this nigga Arkansas Moore is gonna go to prison for fraud, when one, there's no way that they have enough evidence that you're gonna be able to convict this man of fraud in 30 days. It just does not happen. So we got to question ourselves, is this Mona Young and her cohorts that are actually working through the Department of Justice in the, I guess, whatever, the Middle District or Northern District of Georgia? Because there's no way that you can tell me that even on the hunch of, I know that he's committing a crime as soon as he got the money, you got to have an investigator on the scene saying, hey, man, he just got the money. We see him over here buying a Wraith. Like, and you got to have somebody that has evidence that's saying that he's going and buying this Wraith or whatever the fuck he bought, the jury. You know what I'm saying? Like, no investigation is going to move that fast just for the expediency of the sake of surprise. Like, no U.S. attorney is going to put his reputation on the line of quite possibly losing the case by jumping the fucking gun. It's the federal government. They have the pleasure of waiting 6-7 years to come and say, hey, man, we know what you did 5 years ago. Yeah, you might as well go ahead and come with us and plead guilty. But you telling me that this investigator is so concerned with fraud that he's going to launch and complete an investigation in under 30 days. Man, y'all better watch Mona Young, man, because it's no way she's not involved in this. It's no way. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if they using this for footage for Love and Hip Hop or some new show or... But it's no way that they not involved for the feds to get on somebody ass in under 30 days. I don't care who you is. You would have to be committing blatant serial murders for them to complete an investigation in 30 days and indict you in the feds. Don't happen like that. Just like I tried to point out in Power, how you telling me that two high priority cartel assets have been broken out from the U.S. Marshals by the same group of people? Come on, man. Get the fuck out of here, bro. It don't happen like that. Like, y'all are playing in people's face, you know what I'm saying, with the fuckery, because it's obvious that this is a ploy. You know what I'm saying? He probably gonna gain more recognition. And what also kind of gives me some real hope that this a weak case is, you telling me you got an indictment, a financial fraud indictment of $2 million, and you allow this man to be released on bail? Not in the feds, bro. And if it was that much of a smoking gun, he wouldn't even been able to see the magistrate judge about getting out. He'll still be locked up. Like, man, as a person that's gone through the federal investigation process, I want y'all to understand that there's a different side of the law that comes after you've been indicted. And it changes how the world views you, period. It automatically disqualifies you from essentially being a citizen. You can no longer hold any financial jobs. If you got a violent crime, you pretty much can't hold any jobs if you got a federal felony. You know what I'm saying? So all of those things are like just things that I see and how we can easily railroad somebody and lynch somebody in the court of public opinion just because these people say that this man fit a profile of somebody who took $2 million and spent it on himself and his child support and jewelry, because that's the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to, knowing that, you know, we under quarantine and that all of the eyes of the world is going to be on me, I'm going to take a $2 million loan designed for payroll and I'm just going to blow it in under 30 days. Enough so that I've garnered the attention of the federal government that they have enough of a case to indict me in 1 month. Like, we have to, you know, kind of take a look back and say, how is that real? How is that possible? Like, that's a directive. That's a maneuver done by somebody who's trying to control your mind by giving you an image of, if we or you fuck up and don't spend this money correctly, you could be indicted in under 30 days. And it's also a fear tactic, a well and sourly placed fear tactic for you to say, hey, you know, we know that this money is getting out here and we know it went to a lot of big corporations that shouldn't have got it. But the reason we didn't give it to you guys is because, hey, if you get it, you gonna take the money and blow it in under 30 days. Again, like, it perpetuates a negative connotation or a fear of the big black man. And now he's smooth enough to be a criminal enough that he can get a loan for $2 million. He's even more scarier because not only is he a big black man, but he was smart enough to cheat the bank out of $2 million and spend it in under 30 days. Like, I mean, this whole thing just makes my skin crawl because it just perpetuates an opinion that we should never give you niggas money because y'all gonna blow it and do this. And on top of that, it's gonna be some criminal shit. Like, I mean, how dumb do we have to be to believe that stereotype that a nigga cannot be patient enough to actually say, hey, man, I'm going to take this $2 million. Not only am I going to pay my people, but I'm going to invest in my business. He had a trucking company, had 52 employees. You telling me that this man went straight to the dirty? Like, I'm not going to even think about, hey, man, I got $2 million all at one time. Even if I want to blow it, I wouldn't do something like pay my employees $5,000 so now everybody will keep quiet. I wouldn't go get 10 or 12 more trucks because I can get them cheap because it is the pandemic and they're going for $10,000. $10,000. That means if he got $2 million, that means he could have bought 200 trucks. And you telling me he bought not one to buy jewelry and a Rafe and whatever the hell else and pay $40,000 in child support? That could have been an advance on his salary, and that now his corporation is paying off his child support so that he can move unencumbered. But you tell him he skipped over all of that for the prospect of not making no more money and going to prison for up to 30 years to say, nah, man, I'm just going to go ahead and start blowing all this money. Like, I mean, again, like, how much do they feel like the wool is pulled over our eyes that we won't even question and say, nah, man, that don't sound right. You know what I'm saying? All we went to was the jokes of, hey, man, this nigga went and bought a Rafe and a Ford and a Lamborghini, got him a big-ass stupid rope, all that. We done imagined in our head, man, how I'm gonna blow $2 million in 2 weeks. just blow it. Like, no looking out for no future, no trying to figure out, you know, how I'm going to make this money last. You know what I'm saying? $2 million, even if I got payroll of $100,000 or $200,000 a week, that means I can survive 10 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Paying my people, taking some money off and investing it in anything. I could invest it. I would have believed if you told me, hey, man, the nigga went and took the $2 million and went and got him 50 bricks. I would have I'd have been like, what? You know, that boy might have been on to something. Nah, it was stupid, but I could understand if you told me, man, this man went and bought 50 bricks and he went to work. You know what I'm saying? Epidemic, pandemic, whatever it is, people in the house and they doing drugs. So if you told me to went and bought a truckload of weed, or you know what I'm saying, 100 keys of heroin or anything other than, ah, man, now I'm just going to blow it. I'm just going to go straight to the jewelry store, straight to the Lambo dealership, straight to the Rolls Royce dealership, and I'm just going to blow all that money or blow even a bigger portion of the money. Like, even if I blew 50,000 of it saying, hey, I'm going to rent some of this stuff, or I did go and get me a $200,000 chain. Like, why would I do that in the first 30 days when I know the microscope on me? Like, that man, I really feel like somehow he's allowing himself to be used as a pawn in this game of just, like, negative imagery and bullshit. Like, I feel as though, like, the creator is giving me a vision of seeing things and foresight, but also he's giving me a vision of observation of when things don't look right, and this just don't look right to me. It don't feel right. It don't sound right. And it's just like I say, as a person going through who's gone through a federal investigation, you know what I'm saying, who even in my federal investigation, it was wrapped up pretty quickly, but they had already had their eyes on me for a period of 2 to 3 years. You telling me that basically they observed this man for 2 or 3 days and thought that the level of his criminal activity rose to the level of a federal crime in less than 30 days. That's hard for me to believe. You know, and that's just a practical. It's hard for me to believe that you had enough evidence to indict this man in a federal court, not in a state court, like, you know, a transaction here or there. A federal court, you got to have intent, you got to have execution of the criminal activity, and you got to have like a crime spree for you to even gain that type of attention of the federal government. And for you to tell me that somebody has done enough of that in 30 days don't meet the stink test. It just don't. It under no condition. I could tell that to a 12-year-old, and he could understand that no matter how good you are, it's hard to spend $2 million in 30 days. And on top of that, to do a lot of things, a number of things, criminal enough. Like, a 12-year-old would ask you, why did they do that? And why do they do it now? Like, I mean, again, you're the federal government. You have the auspices of just watching him for 30 days. I mean, and why did that arrest warrant have to be issued right then? Like, all of this stuff is just kind of like balling up in me, and I'm like, whose agenda does that meet that you can tell me that you've arrested this man? Like, the coronavirus fears and all of this didn't start until March. It's now May the 19th. That's a little bit more than 60 days ago. You didn't create the fund program until 2 to 3 weeks into it, well into April. So you telling me in a span of 40 days, I've created a program, I've finally funded a program, I've given out money to a program where probably 5 or 6% of the people of the businesses funded are even black. And you telling me that out of 6% of all of the funding, you know, whatever the actual number is, don't quote me, but whatever the funding was for people that were black, and you telling me if he in fact was one of the first people to get a large PPP loan for $2 million, which means that he has, I'm reasonably to say, at least $1 million a month in payroll, or $800,000 a month in payroll, for him to be able to assemble a team, if he didn't already have these people that are already on payroll, and then go perpetuate a fraud of an application, one. Then, on top of perpetuating the fraud of an application, he would have had to receive that money, too, which is a 10-day process, even at the best. So that eliminates 10 days out of the time that he would have even been able to spend any of this money. So you telling me in less than 20 days is what we're down to, because he was arrested and indicted, what, less than 10 days ago? So you telling me in the span of 20 days, give or take, that not only were you able to launch an investigation, you're able to send out field agents or forensic accountants that can tell that these transactions were fraudulent. You could then forward that over to the special agent in charge, who then is refers this over to either the Department of Justice or the FBI, who then forwards this to whoever the field officer or U.S. attorney covering that field, covering that area, all in a matter of under 10 days, which then allows you to have enough evidence to go to the magistrate court to receive a federal bench warrant. A federal bench warrant. Again, in under 10 days in a pandemic, where there are no courts. Like, again, like, how much are we just fed to believe something that perpetuates a stereotype? How much of it is just that? Because my alternative would be, let the man go. Make him go work for that trucking company that he is supposedly have defrauded. Make him create jobs. Make him take that $2 million, even whatever's left of it, and invest in it. Make him put trailers on lines so that they're running routes. Make him hire drivers that he pays a ultimate or premium living wage. Make him mandate that be part of any punishment that he receives, instead of making him not only a criminal, not only a felon, but now a prisoner, because you're telling me that he perpetuated a fraud. A multi-million dollar fraud. All the way fraud. Like, it ain't go rotten. It came out the bat rotten, is what you're telling me. But he should go to prison. as opposed to rehabilitating himself by keeping himself in the community and mandating that he create jobs, mandate that he use the knowledge that he has of the transportation industry to give young unemployed men jobs in the city of Atlanta and or Little Rock or Hope Springs or wherever he from. Like, give him an alternative other than being made to be a prisoner and a felon, and now you're taking away his citizenship rights because now he's a federal felon, which are the only people that can then be beholden as slaves, even under the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. But we don't want to talk about the black corporate presence in America. But I'm going to bring it to their face. And I'm going to create a situation where I'm going to get us reparations through the tax code. Because all my life I've wished and dreamed for this moment that they pass by providing this momentous amount of corporate welfare underneath this new CARES Act. I want you to know that I'm going to be able to legally multiply the any investment that you can make into your corporation just by you being able to pay yourself. If there is one job that you can create a corporation and create your own job inside of that corporation. This is going to be the reparations. They're not just going to give us money or checks and say, hey, you were wrong for all of these years. You are now going to receive this check as reparations or stimulus for the wrong that was done to you. They've hidden it in the tax code, and it's up to us to be able to go get that money, take advantage of it by paying ourselves, by paying our friends, by paying our associates, paying our family, paying them as employees, not under the table, not as contractors, not as non-employees that we pay a 1099. We got to pay them as employees. We got to be able to pay them W-2s because that's going to be the key. A wise man once told me that, son, if you create jobs and you pay taxes, they will never indict you. But if you stop doing either one, you are going to prison. And he said it in just that voice. You are going. What he said was, your ass going to prison. But you are going to prison if you stop doing either one. That is a certainty. And if you get in the way of the government being able to collect their tax, you are going to prison. Like, a lot of the crimes that are committed are in the commission of interruption of interstate commerce under U.S. Section Codes 18. So most of the federal crimes are under the auspice of interruption of interstate commerce. That's what makes it rise to the level of a federal crime, as opposed to murder and robbery. Those are things that are committed in the states, so they're under the purview of the states. But once you start interrupting interstate commerce, you're going to prison. So what we need to be able to do is to be able to show these young men or us, period, that don't have a vision, that there are ways that they can earn a living that doesn't require being able to sell drugs or shoot a basketball. See, you ain't got to have, you ain't got to sling crack rock or a wicked jump shot. Now you can sling ink and paper and create a corporation. You can do things on the internet that can create a corporation, and you can pay yourself and your friends. And then at the end of the year, you're going to get a refund because you're going to get a percentage of everybody's pay that you paid them for the year. And that's going to go into your corporation's pocket. But guess who owns the corporation? You. So now, this is how you create a $1 million corporation, by basically paying yourself, your family, and your friends. This is going to be the new wave. And if I have my way, I'm going to get into the eyes of the influencers, the people in the streets, because that's what's going to bring the government. That's going to bring what's going to bring the other corporations. I'm going to create a situation where we can actually create our own reparations. We're not going to have to wait on anybody to bring it to us, because this is the moment in history where this is actually going to be a transference of wealth. And a lot of the richer people in the world know it. And once we can actually balance the power, and we can even out the wealth dispersed amongst us equally, as opposed to the misplaced transference of wealth through stock and capital and capital gains that the white multinational, the WASP community has controlled for the last 100 years of commercialization. This is going to be the moment for the people that make this country go, the essential workers, the people that do real work, that the real laborers. This is where I'm going to even the playing field by showing them how to be able to turn their money into a tax credit through their own corporation. We've always been so scared to incorporate that we allow them to sell us on things that are not for us. See, the LLC is a business entity that they created for the capability of being able to limit liability, but not eliminate. See, it's an interesting part of limit being a part of eliminate, but not being the whole word. It limits, but it does not eliminate the liability that you would face, which is one thing. The second part of that is it's always attached to you. There is nowhere to report income from an LLC other than on your 1040 personal tax return. But guess what? When you create a corporation, it's its own entity. Files its own tax return. It pays its own taxes. Now, you as a shareholder can be able to gain access to the assets because you are the majority shareholder. But at the end of the day, it allows you one, a veil of veneer to cover you in liability, but it also allows you a separate entity that can then apply for credit and then gain and attain assets. But these are things that we don't talk about in our home because we have so much PTSD built up in us that we think that owning anything is our right, because we were deprived of that right for so long. So we want to have our name on everything.
We want to own our house in our name. We want to own our car in our name and have it paid for so it's in our name. Everything is about being in our name because we were deprived and we weren't given our name for so long. But that has given us a form of what I call post-traumatic slave disorder. That every opportunity that the slave gets, he wants to own something that he can make his possession. He wants to show the world that he's attained earthly possessions through his hard work and wherewithal and saving and discipline. So he gets everything in his name. Any opportunity that he can do anything, it shows his name because he wants the world to remember his name as being able to say that he owns something instead of just being something that was always owned. And that's the shame of it, is that we fight that for a large portion of our lives, but I don't have to own anything ever again. I still owe the United States Treasury $106,000 as a result of the investigation that was done on me into my finances. And I really have no desire to pay it, no matter how much money I make, because one, it becomes a remnant of what I will always remember as my dealings with the U.S. Treasury. And two, just because to say fuck it, like, I don't have to own anything in my name ever again. And that's the only thing that you hold over me by putting this civil judgment against me, is that any property that I retain, you're going to attach a lien to it until I pay you. Well, if I never own another thing ever again in life, it'll be a day too soon. Because I'm going to run everything through the corporation that I own, or corporations, plural. Any car that I want, I'm going to acquire it through that. Any house that I want to live in, I'm going to acquire it through that. And the rest of it for me is just experiences. And I don't attach myself to possessions because I know that they're going to go away. And so will I at one point. So there's no need for me to attain possessions that I'm going to have to release when I die anyway. Never made sense to me. But again, that's my diatribe and my observations for the day. I guess it is May 19th, 2020. Still under the pandemic, quarantine, lockdown, whatever you want to call it. It's going on 80, 90 days now. And I think the people are getting riled up. So I think that there's going to be a huge release. And it's just going to be hold on. Because even though there's going to be this huge release between the summer and fall, like I said, the greatest transference of wealth is going to happen somewhere around March and April of 2021. Because if I have anything to say, I would have created at least 1,000 corporations with 1 million employees and my business owners will have at least accumulated a minimum of $220 to $250 million in federal tax refunds. So that's the goal. Project 1000 is underway. If you are a business owner or you think you have what it takes to be a business owner, please contact me. You know, I can be reached Facebook, D'Angelo Parker, or Rich Forever. The business group is the group and the page and business that I started. And I can show you the way. So if you have any questions, please give me a call. I can be reached at Genius, so G-E-N-I-U-S, Capital Investments with an S at gmail.com, or 904-770-9503. I'd like to talk to people, so please call me and I can help you and I can make it happen for you. I'm checking out.